The Wilson's Tales Project presents The Monks of Dryburgh. Monks in medieval days were known for their good kale, but as well as growing good food, they were equally ingenious in directing the wealth of their neighbours and their dependents into their own coffers. In common with others of their profession, they assailed the deathbeds of the wealthy to persuade the dying sinner that he had no chance of heaven unless he donated handsomely to their holy brotherhood before his departure. There was a day when the brethren of Dryburgh heard the old Laird of Meldrum was suddenly on the point of death. Two brethren of Dryburgh at once set out, in great haste, to visit him. They arrived to find the old man had not only arrived at the point of death, but had passed it before they arrived, and the Laird was dead already, and their services no longer required. The holy men were dreadfully disappointed, for they had reckoned on making an excellent thing of the job. They had been carefully nurturing the Laird for years past toward gaining an extremely handsome bequest at his death. So it was with long faces and woeful looks that the monks returned to the monastery and reported the unlucky accident of the Laird's having slipped away before they had had time to gain anything from him in his last moments. They all felt grievously disappointed, for the Laird had been confidently reckoned upon as sure game. It was while they were in this state of mortification that a bright idea came to one of the brothers, and when he mentioned it to the rest, it was highly approved of. The idea was to conceal the Laird's death for a time. They would remove his body, and to find someone to occupy the bed, passing for the Laird in a dying state, then procure a lawyer and witnesses, having first instructed the substitute Laird in how to bequeath all his property to the monastery. This done, the living man to be secretly conveyed away, the dead one restored to his deathbed again, and the death publicly announced. This ingenious scheme won universal approbation from the monks, and it was determined that it should be instantly acted upon. Fortunately for the monks, there was a poor man, a small farmer in the neighbourhood, of the name of Thomas Dixon, who bore a singularly strong personal resemblance to the deceased. It at once pointed him out as the fittest person to act the required part. They immediately went to him and explained the matter, offering him a very handsome gratuity for his services. "A bargain be it," said Thomas, when it was explained and the terms proposed. "Never ye fear me. If I dinna make a good job of it, blame me. I kent the Laird well, and can come as near him in speech as I'm said to do in person." The monks, satisfied with Thomas's assurances of fidelity, proceeded with their plan. And when everything was prepared, with the Laird's body removed and Thomas extended in the Laird's bed, with the curtains closely drawn around him, they introduced the lawyer. The lawyer had already been told that he was required for the purpose of taking down the old man's will and testament, and they had found four witnesses to attest the facts that were about to be exhibited. Everything being in readiness, the lawyer with pen in hand, the witnesses in the attitude of profound attention, then one of the monks intimated to the dying man that he might now proceed to dictate his will.
"Very well," replied Thomas in a feeble, tremulous tone. "Hear me then, good folks all. I bequeath to honest Thomas Dixon, whom I have long respected for his worth and pitied for his straits, the whole of my movable goods and lion money. Put down that." And down that accordingly went. but if the house had flown into the air with them, or the ghosts of their great-grandfathers had appeared before them, the monks could not have expressed more amazement or consternation than they did at finding themselves thus so fairly outwitted by the superior genius of the canny farmer. They dared not breathe a word of remonstrance, nor take the smallest notice of the trick that was being played upon them, for their own character was at stake in the transaction, and the least intimation of their design on the laird's property would have exposed them to public infamy. And this Thomas well knew. It was in vain, therefore, that they edged round towards the bed, concealing their movements from all those present, and squeezed and pinched the dying laird. He was not to be driven from his purpose. On he went, bequeathing first one thing and then another to his honest friend Thomas Dixon, till Thomas was fairly put in possession of everything the laird had that was worth bequeathing. He had the prudence and discretion to bestow some trifles upon the monks of Dryborough, but they were truly trifles when compared to the valuable legacy he left to himself. When the dying laird had disposed of everything he had, the scene closed. The discomfited monks returned to their monastery. The notary and the witnesses departed. And Thomas Dixon, in due time, stepped into a comfortable living, and thereafter defied the monks of Dryborough on the peril of losing their good name, even to dare to hint how he had come by it.